From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. When the news about rape accusations facing Hollywood media mogul Harvey Weinstein first made headlines more than 2 years ago, it broke a dam in American consciousness and popularized the movement we now call hashtag MeToo. Weinstein epitomized the culture of predatory and pervasive rape and sexual assault of women by powerful men that had gone unacknowledged for so long. This week, a New York jury convicted Weinstein on 2 counts of sexual assault and third-degree rape, ending a seminal chapter in the sordid saga. Although he was acquitted on the most serious charges of first-degree rape and predatory sexual assault, Weinstein faces up to 25 years in prison. A sentencing hearing has been scheduled for March 11th. While the New York case is over, Weinstein now faces new charges in Los Angeles over the assault of 2 women at a Beverly Hills hotel in 2013. We turn now to Jane Piper. She's an activist who works on issues of rape and sexual assault, and she's a rape survivor herself who runs a Facebook page with Karen Palmer called This Is Rape, Stories from Survivors Inspired by Jane Piper. We had talked to you, Jane, in 2017 when the story first broke. Thank you so much for joining us once more.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sonali. I appreciate it.
So were you surprised by the verdict on Monday? The jury did have a majority of men, although there were still significant numbers of women. They took a little bit longer than expected, and they convicted him on 2 charges and acquitted him on 2. What do you make? What was your reaction to the verdict?
I was a little surprised just when I heard that they were taking some time and they were sort of deadlocked at one point. I was a bit nervous because, of course, you know, I anticipated him getting off at that point. But I mean, it's an amazing moment for women everywhere. It's a watershed moment for the movement. It's just a beautiful moment for people to realize that, you know, maybe we don't have to be silent anymore.
Now, do you feel disappointed that that he was acquitted on the most serious charges of first-degree rape and predatory sexual assault? He would have faced, had he been convicted on those 2 charges, he would have been facing life in prison.
Yes, it is. It is disappointing for sure because the irony that he was found guilty of 2 separate people and predatory rape means you have to be caught. It needs to be proven that you raped 2 people. It's just interesting there that there were 2 people involved in the conviction, although it wasn't, you know, it wasn't rape in both cases. It's disappointing, but you know what? He will hopefully get 25 years, and that's a great thing for the women who came forward and accused him. And it's a great thing for women everywhere who have gone through sexual assault or rape.
The case itself, as it was playing out, got a little bit ugly at times. Obviously it was ugly because of the stories that were the center of it, the accusations. But even Weinstein's defense, coming from a female lawyer, Donna Rotuno, who, you know, quite strongly implicated that the women who say they were raped by him essentially were complicit in what had happened to them, that they should have taken greater responsibility. They knew what they were doing. How did you feel as a rape survivor listening to those defenses? Because they seem to run up against what women for years have worked to dismiss, which is the victim blaming and shaming.
It's the same old thing. You know, honestly, it's not surprising. It was a little shocking to hear her in one interview say that she had never been a victim of sexual assault because she wouldn't put herself in that position, which is what her response was. It's not surprising though, unfortunately. People always hold the victim responsible. And, you know, somehow it's, you know, what she's wearing or what she's doing at the time or where she is. There's so many things that are used to blame the victim. And it's inexcusable and yet not surprising.
The stories of the women who accused Weinstein were heard not just by the jury, but by the American public. How critically important was that? Because it was quite a diverse group of women. There were, women of many ages, a few different races, and there was so much evidence. And Weinstein was just, not just another person. He was a very powerful man who also was part of an industry that promotes rape culture, that sexualizes women. And to find out that some of the same things, that same culture was, pervading the internal part of the industry, was this a critically important public discourse?
Oh, that's what I think is most important about this, is the conversation that has come up. It's important that people realize what is experienced by women in the workplace and in these situations. It's not just Hollywood. I mean, this was a very powerful man, and this is someone who had a lot of people helping him to do what he did. But what happens every day is in smaller situations where people are hurt by people they know or people that are around them, and yet there's still the silencing that goes on. I find that the dialogue that has come out of this throughout the trial, but also with the verdict, it's huge in people understanding that this is violence that people are experiencing. This is brutal treatment, and I think it's opening up people's eyes to what it is that a rape survivor has survived from.
The fact that women broke this story and women in large part covered this story as reporters, I thought was quite significant, right, Jane? The Associated Press did a great piece showing the women reporters that covered the Weinstein trial.
It was quite interesting. There was a photo display of all the different parts and the women journalists working together to sort of help make space in the courtrooms and just setting up camps essentially where they would go and touch base with employers or go and take notes and at a downtime. It's a really powerful thing that these women came together, and the men involved as well. It's just powerful all around that people are having their voices heard.
And it seems as though right now we are at a stage where enough women have pushed through and struggled and broken through into Hollywood, into journalism, into law, that they can't be ignored anymore. Because it seems as though this whole story is the result of women in so many different arenas saying that they wouldn't take it anymore. To me, it's really signals to men everywhere that maybe you won't get away with it anymore.
Exactly. I think it's being announced loud and clear that this behavior is no longer acceptable. And this, of course, is not just rape and sexual assault. This is sexual harassment, and speaking inappropriately to people, making inappropriate jokes, making someone feel uncomfortable in when they're supposed to be in the workplace. There's so much that's come out of this movement and this case bringing it to the forefront. I think we're in very interesting times.
Let's talk about Donald Trump's reaction. At a press conference earlier this week during his trip to India, he was asked about the verdict and he, congratulated the women for this victory and then, of course, turned everything around like he likes to do, to it being the fault of Democrats, accused Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama of being friends with Weinstein. And of course, nobody in the audience or among the reporters brought up the fact that he himself faces similar accusations.
Yes, and many of them. I believe it's in the 20s now. I could be wrong. It could be higher. Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't care what he says about this topic. It is never going to be anything but offensive, and he's the last person to speak about to speak about this topic. He's, you know, he his behavior has been inappropriate. He's been accused of rape and sexual assault and sexual harassment on many different levels. And you know, he's happy to point out when he can draw his political lines and show his bias, but it really is ridiculous.
Is the Weinstein story over? There, I mentioned, are two new charges now, although the New York court case is over. There is a potentially new case that's opening up in Los Angeles over charges of sexual assault in 2013, not that long ago, at a hotel in Beverly Hills. I'm wondering if we could see the same type of thing play out, you know, with Weinstein serving his prison sentence and facing new charges in Los Angeles.
Yes, I think it's that's exactly what's going to happen. And the two women who have come forward, I believe they're both unidentified, but it happened in a matter of 2 days. They're 2 days apart, so it shows, you know, it shows a continual use of violence and this, you know, disgusting behavior. So I think there's going to be a lot more that comes out in this trial. I'm eager to observe.
And if indeed the trial reveals that these two attacks were credible and happened back to back, then I imagine that charges of predatory sexual assault might stick, as well as potentially, of course, first degree rape. There are about 90, or actually now I'm seeing more than 90 women total that have accused Weinstein. And it I'm wondering for you whether this case signals not just that men will no longer be able to get away with what they've gotten away with, but that those who have known about the assaults and rapes will, you know, will be seen as complicit, because it was an open secret in Hollywood what Weinstein was doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, the number of people that were most likely involved in helping him, you know, get away with what he did, whether, you know, the major involvement of studio execs or whatever who were helping him pay off people, or whether it was just, you know, assistants guiding women up to his hotel room. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's very depressing. I don't know if this is over though, Sonali. I have to say that the one thing that concerns me is that there are still people who have been accused of rape as well, who are, you know, the Me Too movement didn't seem to pick them up. I don't want to derail your conversation at all, but we just saw the very tragic death of Kobe Bryant, and you know his the crime that he committed was rather brutal as well. And when he so sadly passed away with his daughter, you know there was a woman a journalist in Washington who was actually fired just for bringing up on Instagram, for bringing up the fact that he had been, you know, he had had to apologize for rape.
She,
In
yes, there was
his in
a reporter who was suspended, and then only after a major outcry was she reinstated. But I understand the paper, it was the Washington Post, didn't even apologize to her.
that case, it's very tragic. It's a horrible story, and I don't know this man. He was a brilliant athlete and an icon and an idol to so many people, and I understand that. And I don't want to be the person who is, you know, screaming and yelling and trying to, you know, bring him down after he's gone. But there's still the reality that's there, and that scares me. There's still the reality of Bill Clinton and what he did, and yet we don't ever talk about that.
And
Hillary
possibly
Clinton.
Michael Bloomberg.
Well,
Know
exactly. I don't
enough
know any
about
of the
Bloomberg,
details of
right?
those stories. That, you know, they seem, you know, Elizabeth Warren seems to be doing a great job trying to bring him forward, but there's disclosure
Non-disclosure
agreements,
agreements, yeah.
non-disclosure agreements that are in existence that are stopping the women, I guess. I don't know if it's violence. I don't know if it's just, you know, if it's just inappropriate commentary that he seems to be insinuating. But what worries me is that there are still people in positions of power that are able to get away with it, and it's inconvenient to give the most basic word to describe it. It's inconvenient for people to accept it, and so they don't. They want to still be fans. They want to still be supporters. And so we still have this silence that exists, which brings other people who have survived violence to be silent themselves. And that is a great concern to me. Now, I hope that things are changing, and I hope that because of the Weinstein verdict, that we'll see a difference, and that people will feel like they actually have a chance to be heard in court. But I'll be honest, when it comes to people in positions of power, I am not super confident.
Well, one of the things that people have raised is that, and that our conversation just essentially highlighted, is that it doesn't really matter whether somebody's a conservative or liberal, a Democrat or a Republican, or white or black or another race. Male sexual predatory behavior runs across many, many lines. Salamisha Tillit, who co-founded an organization helping to end violence against women and girls, wrote a great op-ed in the New York Times this week called "Why Harvey Weinstein's Guilt Matters to Black Women." And she wrote, "The verdict enables more survivors of all backgrounds to share their truth, regardless of the identity of their perpetrators." What do you make of that? That Weinstein's story really impacts women of all races and black women as well.
Yeah, I think she's absolutely right. I think it breaks that illusion that a rapist is the big scary black man, which for years that's what, you know, the systemic racism in our society has told us. And that is untrue. And that, I believe she mentions in her story that, 57% of rapes are committed by white men. And yet, we don't see that in the media coverage. It's always the jump on a story where there's a black man accused. And I think that this is opening up the doors for people to realize that there are that crime doesn't, this isn't something of one color. This is not something that we can divide by race. This is violence is something that's systemic within humanity, and we need to fix this. And by acknowledging that there's not others, that there are not these scary other people that are unlike us, that in fact the violence is being perpetrated by us, by our own kinds of people, our own friends, our own family members, our people that we admire. And when we really face that and look within ourselves and look at what it's doing to us and look at what denying it is doing to us, I think we really have an opportunity to stop violence in general.
There was a story recently of a female musician, her name escapes me, who came out about how she was raped and held captive, and how she completely retreated from a very promising career that she had, which is so reminiscent of the stories that women in Hollywood who were targeted by Weinstein share, that their careers came to a standstill, that they, had their entire power taken away from them by a powerful man. I'm wondering, Jane, if you think that there are men who hope that the hashtag MeToo movement is just a moment, that they will be able to, wait it out. It's in some cases been turned into a punchline where, TV shows and movies will have male characters saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can't make that joke, or you'll Me Too me." Do you think men are just expecting it'll go away?
Well, I certainly hope not. I feel like the men that I know certainly aren't, because that is not something that I am really familiar with, I'll be honest with you. But there are men out there that I'm sure are quietly waiting for this, sort of hullabaloo to fade away so that they can go back to their bad behavior. And hopefully that is not going to happen.
And it was the Welsh singer Duffy, by the way, whose name I wasn't remembering before. So
yes, that's right. Yes, I was not familiar with her, but I did read about the story. Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I can relate to her experience. And I was when my personal experience with rape, I was not raped by someone in a powerful position. I was raped by a stranger in a parking lot, and that's very uncommon. Usually people are raped by people they know, a family member or an, you know, someone that is known to them. But for me, I retreated completely. I mean, it's been over 15 years and I still feel that there's very many aspects of my life where I have retreated. I don't put myself out there as much as I once would. I don't feel comfortable in certain things that I once would. It's a powerful experience, the experience of violence and being betrayed and exploited in the way that rape feels, that the experience of rape feels like. And I think the more we talk about it, and the more we talk about what we experienced and share our stories, the more likely we are to stop this behavior.
Well, Jane, I always appreciate you speaking out. I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
My guest has been Jane Piper. She's an activist who works on issues of rape and sexual assault. She's a rape survivor who runs a Facebook page called This Is Rape: Stories from Survivors Inspired by Jane Piper. We've been discussing the Weinstein verdict and what's next. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.